Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Today, my guest is BJ Emerson, Social Technology Officer at Tasty Delight. BJ is one of those in the know within franchising and social media. I really look forward to our conversation about social opportunities for multi-unit operators. I'd like to take a moment and thank Amy Nichols, CEO and founder at Dogtopia, for being my guest last week as we discussed multiple benefits of franchise social media. I received many tweets and messages about the segment and saw an increase in on-demand access over the weekend. If you've yet to listen to last week's show, or for that matter, any of Franchise Today shows, all segments are available on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/Franchise Today Show. Thanks again, Amy. It was a great show. Looking forward to having you on in the future. Next week on Franchise Today, longtime public relations expert and franchise favorite, Rhonda Sanderson, will be my guest. Rhonda and I will be discussing how to utilize social media within current PR programs. It certainly should be a great show indeed. By the way, I'd like to extend best wishes to Rhonda as her birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday, Rhonda. This week, we'll be talking about, social opportunities for multi-unit operators. And I was talking about that subject with some of the people over at IFA. And a matter of fact, the week after next, Scott Lair of the IFA will be my guest as we discuss the International Franchise Expo in Washington, D.C. At the time of the show, the IFE event will be behind us, so Scott will provide us with some insight into the happenings at the event. Of course, we'll also talk about the IFA and pending management change as a result of Matt Shea's resignation, so please be sure to tune in. Starting in late April and continuing well into May, we're planning a legal series for Franchise Today. Our plans are to discuss franchise performance representations, franchise advisory councils, and other important topics. The lineup of guests is still being planned out, so we welcome requests from franchise attorneys that may be interested in participating. Please contact me at paulsegretto@fmdpro.com. What with multi-unit franchising conference going on in Las Vegas last week and many franchise professionals feverishly working on meeting that March 31st deadline for registrations and all that goes into the FDDs, this past week was somewhat slow and quiet on the LinkedIn franchise front. So instead of reviewing a discussion or beating a dead horse from some other discussions, I thought I'd take a moment and review one of the posts that we put on Franchise Essential site at www.fmdpro.com. And of course, we always post that across various social media, including LinkedIn. The article entitled Franchise Sales and Development Challenges, of course, is entirely my opinion, which is based upon working with many franchise candidates and clients in analyzing and developing franchise lead generation strategies, and of course, spending a great deal of time within social media. I believe last year was the perfect storm with respect to challenges the franchise industry faced in its franchise sales and development efforts. There really appeared to be three key components that equally contributed to the lackluster performance. One was a cause, another was uncertainty, and the other was basically an unknown. The cause was the abrupt cessation of funding. Even franchise sales that were actually made fell by the wayside when financing options dried up almost overnight. You know, it also curtailed many existing franchisees' efforts into expanding their portfolios with new locations and actually compounded the problem by having to tap their capital reserves to offset a decline in sales. You know, the uncertainty was the indecisiveness of franchise candidates on whether it was the right time to take that entrepreneurial plunge or not. Many were exploring franchising as a career alternative and out of necessity, but were unwilling to put it all on the line. The risk factor won out, and was justified, maybe rationalized, by the tight credit markets. The unknown that I've come to really embrace with social media, as today's franchise candidates quickly evolved into a more sophisticated, technologically advanced, and educated candidate, many franchise organizations weren't prepared for the influx of these individuals within social media networks, exploring opportunities differently than ever before. Thus, the franchise candidates that may have been qualified and well-informed were missed in many cases and either chose a different career path or are actually still searching social media sites for the information that will lead them to the right opportunity. Now, as the public is seeing some positive trends like gradual decline in new unemployment claims, we should begin to see more and more individuals searching for information about career alternatives. I believe many will continue to visit social media sites, participating in discussions, and, of course, sharing information. All the while, though, they will be more cautious than ever and will insist upon absolute trust in the individuals presenting the information. Hey, it's all about transparency and, of course, about the information itself before taking that entrepreneurial plunge. Hey, social media is ripe for today's candidates to explore, identify, and act upon a franchise opportunity. Franchisors are highly advised to capitalize on social media and be sure to integrate the same with their traditional franchise marketing and development strategies because, hey, social media is here to stay and is truly effective at creating or improving brand awareness. As I mentioned, last week was Franchise Update's multi-unit franchising conference in Las Vegas. Today's guest, BJ Emerson, participated in the conference and was actually one of the panels at the discussion. Of course, he spoke about social media, be it from the perspective of embracing social media within multi-unit franchise operations. BJ brings a strong blend of technical and creative abilities to his role as social technology officer for Tasty Delight. In his 12 years of experience, BJ has overseen the rapid expansion of technologies to include provided hosted applications for entire franchise networks. Featured in Twitter's Business 101 case studies, BJ spearheaded the integration of the Tasty Delight brand experience with online communities by engaging customers and working with franchisees to expand the brand through social media. He recently led the development of the first ever loyalty program featuring an integration with social sites of Facebook, Twitter, and Foursquare. BJ, welcome to Franchise Today.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Good to be here, and thanks for having me on your show.
It's certainly my pleasure and an honor. It's amazing how you and I come from two distinctly different backgrounds, only to be parlayed together in Entrepreneur Magazine's article in Franchises Go Social. The article was part of the annual 500 issue that hits the streets every January, and quite frankly, BJ, it made us look damn good. But, of course, you and Tasty Delight do seem to be everywhere online. Tell me, how did the whole social media initiative begin at Tasty Delight?
Wow, that's a good question and a great – I think we have a great story, a great case study for, companies that, want to get online and engage customers. Back about a little over 2 years ago, we were looking online and we saw that customers were creating all kinds of content already about the brand, about the products, about reviewing different flavors. There was all kinds of Facebook groups and Facebook groups for Tasty Delight addicts, and one guy even created an entire blog site reviewing all of our flavors and products. But all we had at that point, and I guess this was almost 3 years ago, was just an archaic website. So as part of the acquisition of the concept, a new team was brought in, and we started making some changes. So at that point, we looked at what was out there and realized that we're kind of being socially negligent at that point because there was no response from the company. And there's all this great content out there, all these great conversations that people are having about Tasty Delight.
It's you bring up a great term there, socially negligent. I love that. I've never heard that before, but yeah, I understand the context. I understand the meaning. That's fabulous. Where did the how did Twitter pop onto the scene for Tasty Audio? I mean, obviously there was the presence on Facebook. You went out there and responded to what was going on Facebook. When and where did Twitter come into the equation?
Right. Well, the first thing we did was just listened on all these channels, you know, and saw what the opportunity was on each individual channel and saw what conversations were happening related to Tasty Light and where they were happening and what people were saying. So as you look at Facebook, sure, that's, you know, that's huge opportunity for any company at this point. But as you look at these other channels, whether it be YouTube, Yelp, LinkedIn, or in our case, Twitter, we just saw a lot of activity there where people were saying, you know, hey, I'm at, you know, Tasty Light, or I just had, you know, such and such a flavor, or now you're looking at Foursquare, people are checking in on Foursquare, and that's posting to Twitter as well. So you look at each of these channels individually, and we saw a unique opportunity on Twitter for, you know, real-time engagement. You know, and these are all, most of the posts are public. So you can search for any term. So you search on Tasty Delight and you find people talking about it and you have the opportunity to engage. So we listened for a little while and tried to understand the spirit and of the community and what the etiquette was, and then just started engaging and just got a great response from these customers, which, you know, we've had this, the brand has had this loyal cult-like following, and now you couple that with, you know, these online communities and what you can do now in communicating online. You mix those two things together, and you just got this great opportunity to engage and just have some fun with the customers, you know, directly.
You know, you mentioned a cult-like following, and I know when I talk to various franchisors and clients about Tasty Delight and how successful y'all have been in putting into effect and really been successful at following through this entire social media initiative and staying up with the technology and adding new things as they come about, you know, but a lot of them say, yeah, but you know, that's Tasty Delight. They have a cult-like following already. How do I get my brand that's relatively unknown out there on social media? Can you give me your insight on that? I mean, it's a great benefit working for somebody like Tasty Delight that has a cult-like following, but what about the brands that don't? Would this work for them as well?
I believe it would, but at the same time, in listening on these channels, you have to see, you know, what are the people, you know, are they talking about either your brand, your product or your service, or even your industry? Are they talking about those things, number one? If they're not, well, then there's really no you know, opportunity there. You're best to invest your time and resources in other places. But if they are talking about either directly about your company, or a product that you sell or a service, if they're talking about those things, there's opportunity to engage and just reach out, follow them, and start having conversations and kind of see where that goes. You know, setting yourself up and providing a valuable feed, if you will, so that the content that you're producing on these different sites as the company, you know, would people find that interesting? Would they find it valuable, and would they want to follow you? So it's, you know, number one, are they out there talking about, you know, what you're interested in, what you might be selling? At the same time, are you providing something of value to this community? And why would they want to follow you? Why would they want to listen to you? Why would they want to engage with you? And if you have the time and you have the creativity, you know, you can really make a great impact using social media.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't need a huge budget to do these things, but you do need some creativity, and it takes some time to invest in how to engage on these sites, what the best way to get response is, how to, you know, get, as conversations are started, how do you keep those conversations going, those sorts of things.
Right. Well, how does your social media strategy integrate with other marketing at Tasty Delight?
Well, that's a good question. I think in any organization, you know, communication is key among, you know, marketing, PR, you know, technology, communications, all of these, and it's going to be different for each company, just depending on how you're structured. You know, where does this go? Where does this new function, if you will, where does that sit? And it's going to be different in each company, depending on, I think, the skill sets that you have within each organization. So I work very closely with marketing and our PR department as well. And as we're communicating things, we have new marketing programs coming out and launching. So we try to, you know, kind of calibrate there with all of our marketing programs. So it's really a function of just trying to communicate well, make sure everybody's on the same page, and then executing well. And you have to be able to execute at the line level as well. So if we do something in the virtual realm and we're making all these connections with customers, well, we better make sure that the people at the, you know, at the counter, they need to be aware of, you know, these different campaigns and what's going on. When people walk into the store, you know, the people behind the counter aren't clueless about what's going on in these virtual online communities.
You know, you shared a great story, at least to me it was great, at the IFA convention at one of the panels that you sat on, when you mentioned that one day you decided to throw out some information on Twitter about the franchise opportunity. Can you share that with our listeners?
There were several there that I shared. I'm afraid you're going to have to refresh my memory a little more specifically with that.
I think you had said that you put something out there, and then I guess somebody from franchise development had come to you and said, wait, we have to do it this way or that way or something along those lines. Is my memory correct in that?
I know we shared a bunch of stories on that panel, and there were some other panels.
Well, then why don't you just share one story with us?
Okay. You know, with the, again, going back to one of the simplest stories that I have that I like to share, one of my favorites, happened early on with us, and it happens on a regular basis. And it's, you know, it's, and this is from Twitter, and again, this is all real time and it's public, so someone says something about Tasty Delight, well, you have an opportunity to engage there. So this girl just sends out a tweet, and it wasn't to anybody specifically. She just sends out a tweet, and it says, waiting for 4:30, going uptown to meet my husband to get some Tasty Delight or Mr. Softy, then dinner with friends, and she goes on a little bit more. So she sends out this public message that anybody could see, that says she's either going to go to Tasty Delight or to the Mr. Softy truck, which is these trucks in New York there that,
right,
that have soft serve. And so so I saw that message. You know, I had a little kind of an alert set up, and I saw that. And so I just followed her on Twitter, which is just kind of a gesture to say, hey, you know, I'm interested in what you have to say. And so she saw that because you get an email when you do that. So the next message she sends out, she says, oh, my gosh, Tasty Delight is now following me on Twitter. Quick, where's Mr. Softy? So I thought, well, that's, you know, she's having some fun with it. Well, I'll have some fun with it, too. So then I went ahead and sent out a message and said, I'm not sure you'll find them Twittering from their trucks. How about a coupon? What location are you headed to? And so we just happened to have some Valpak coupons that were valid there, so the next message she comes back and says, true, thanks, I followed some of your previous tweets and found the Valpak coupons, got a yummy brownie batter cone, thank you. And of course, people are seeing, you know, this conversation.
Sure.
They can track this, and the conversation is still out there. So interestingly enough, you know, you can, as people are making decisions more and more now online based on referrals from their friends and these sorts of things, you can actually catch them in the middle of making a decision and perhaps influence that decision toward your product or a competitor's. And so in this simple case, You know, she had thrown out there that she was going to go this place or another place. So, you know, because we responded faster, I'm not sure if Mr. Fidolfi ever responded, but think about it in the future. At some point, if someone throws out a question like this, you know, it's really going to be the first brand to respond or the first brand to engage that may have the more influence over their decision. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, a lot of franchise executives looking at social media say, you know, I hear exactly what you're saying. That's great. But how many of us have the time to be sitting at our computer waiting for an alert or a message? Please share with them some of the alerts and the different tools that you use to keep track of that in real time without actually focusing, you know, 20 hours a day specifically looking at the Twitter account.
Right, right. Well, I won't give away all my secrets there, Paul, but I'll share some. you can set up for different, I use the Twitter example. I don't know that Facebook has anything quite like this at this point, although there's huge opportunity there. It's just a much different dynamic. But in the case of Twitter, if someone mentions a certain keyword or phrase, you can actually set it up so that it goes into your email and looks kind of like an email. And so as you're managing your email, and let's say you use Outlook, well, as you have other emails coming in, you know, a little message comes in and just kind of gives you an alert, and then you can kind of click on that and go look and see if that opportunity is something you want to pursue. So it's not necessarily, there are applications that you can use to manage, these conversations, but there are ways to streamline it and to use technology, and I'm afraid I have somewhat of an advantage with my, you know, technology background and some of these things. And so, my phrase is, my philosophy is kind of when in doubt, geek it out. That's kind of my kind of my phrase. But there's all kinds of ways to automate these things to get visibility, which is really what you want. It's just a matter of getting visibility. You don't have to sit there and stare at the screen all the time, but there are ways to set up those tools, with either RSS feeds or some kind of Twitter alert that goes right into your email, then you can pursue that as needed.
You know, when I walked into the one panel session that you were involved in at the IFA convention, there was a couple of people, actually a couple of my clients, sitting there. All the buzz was about Foursquare. It was really, I'd heard a little bit about it, but not much. But it seems to be taken off quite a bit, and especially within franchising, and I think in a big part because of you and what you've done with Tastylight with Foursquare. Can you explain a little bit about Foursquare and how you use it?
Sure. The last year Twitter was all the rage and still very, I think, going to continue to be a huge platform online. Foursquare, it's estimated that they're going to reach 1 million users before Twitter did. And I got involved early with the guys from Foursquare. And Foursquare is a mobile application primarily, where on your iPhone, your BlackBerry, you can open up this application, and when you're at a restaurant or a bar, you can quote unquote check in at that location. And all of the locations or the venues are created by customers on their mobile devices. So you say, I just want to add this venue. Most of them at this point already exist. And so as you're out and about, you check in at these different venues, at these different locations, and that information gets shared with your friends. So it's location-based social networking, and you can friend people, and you have visibility to where your friends are. I'll give you an example. I was in Nashville, and I happened to be looking on Foursquare, and a guy that I know who lives in New York had checked in on Foursquare nearby somewhere in Nashville. And I said, well, that's strange. He's not from here. So I was able to connect with him, and 20 minutes later we're having dinner. So I had
that's
this
awesome
visibility to where my friend was, and he was from out of town. He just happened to be in town. I saw that, and we got connected. And so that's kind of how it works. There's some gaming elements. You can, if you've been somewhere more than anywhere else, you become the mayor quote-unquote mayor of that location, and then people can oust you as the mayor, and it, and the message it gets sent that says, I just ousted Paul as the mayor of, you know, wherever.
That is awesome.
So there's really two things that we've been involved with Foursquare, and the first one is actually available to all businesses at this point, where you can advertise on Foursquare. And so when, let's say, someone is down the block from a Tasty Delight and they're at a restaurant and they've checked in, well, a little green button will show up on their screen. It says special nearby. So they click on that button, and what happens, it says, come to Tasty Delight down the street, and you get a dollar off of whatever. You get some kind of special if you go down to Tasty Delight. So then they go to Tasty Delight, and they show that they've checked in order to redeem this coupon or whatever it is. So right now, that's open to all businesses, and you can go to foursquare.com and find out more there. But so here's the interesting thing: is what this changes is that, you know, you've always had impressions and clicks that you could measure. All right, so I had X number of impressions, and now I can measure clicks on an ad. But it adds this another really critical metric, which is the check-in, which now, when, you know, that person clicks on your ad, you go through, and now they check in actually physically at your location, you can see that. If you go a step further and put a point of sale button on your terminal there that tracks, you know, redemptions of a certain coupon, well, then you've gone even farther. So there's lots of opportunity there for businesses to get involved in this, you know, this local, geo-targeted, you know, type of marketing here, and it's gonna get really huge over time here as Facebook does something similar. Everybody wants to know where you are and when you're there, and I guess it's just up to the users how much they want to share with their friends, which is a whole other conversation. But the other thing that we're doing with Foursquare is we actually set up an integration through our loyalty program. And basically how it works is when you get a loyalty card, which we call it a treat card. You get this loyalty card, and you can go online and you can, register for an account and you can create an account. But within that, you can actually connect your account to Twitter, Foursquare, and Facebook. And so next time you go into a Tasty Delight, you swipe your card. When you buy something, you earn points, obviously, based on what you buy. But you also get a point because you've enabled these connections to your social networks, and a message goes out to your friends that says, I just earned X number of points at Tasty Delight of, you know, whatever location. And that could actually include a link to a coupon for your friends as well. And so it automatically checks you in on Foursquare when that card is swiped. So there's a couple things we're doing with Foursquare, and that's that one has gotten quite a bit of attention. I think we have a great story related to, you know, just our adoption of becoming a social-friendly brand instead of being that, socially negligent brand, you know, kind of going and morphing into this social-friendly brand where now we're even rewarding customers for talking about Tasty Delight and sharing their experience online with their friends. They're getting rewarded for that, and they can get points toward free product.
That's just a fabulous case study. I mean, thanks for sharing about Foursquare. I noticed Deb Evans, the CEO of our Computer Explorers that we both know, saw last night on Facebook that it said she was checking in at, I think, Santa Fe Flats for a margarita. So it's really quite interesting. It's really a great way to stay in touch with people. And you guys have done a tremendous job at using that new technology. You know, I mentioned earlier you attended the multi-unit franchising events last week in Sin City, Las Vegas, for all of those that are still hiding under a rock. And you participated in a panel as a panelist. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
So, Paul, you really asked me what happened in Las Vegas.
Basically what happened in Las Vegas. Even though we say what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas, right?
Right. But I'm going to disclose what we talked about. It's a great conference and a lot of participation there from, people that own many, many franchise units in all kinds of different chains. And so we did a panel on social media marketing, and it was myself and Lauren Fisher and Richard Morey, who's actually an attorney with DLA Piper. And so we went through and just had a really great discussion, had some great questions from the audience, talking about how do we get the franchisor to implement these programs that we want to do. And then, at the same time, we had franchisors saying, well, how do we get franchisees to, to do some of these things? And so, you had it both ways there. So just some really great discussion about, how to push it down to franchisees. And then as well, we had franchisees that were saying, how do we get our franchisors on board with this? They just, they're not interested. That was kind of where the conversation went.
So how did you answer that question? How do we get the franchisor to do the things that we want to do from a multi-unit franchisee perspective?
Right. Well, with going in that direction, there's all kinds of great campaigns that you can do that you can measure, and then you can take to the franchisor to say, hey, here's something that we tried, and here are the results that we got. Okay. Now, with social media, there are many more opportunities to measure the results of a given campaign over, your traditional TV or radio, type of ad. And so, if someone went and did a simple Facebook targeted ad, okay, they went on a Facebook, and anybody can do this. They create a targeted ad, and let's say it targeted people that were from a certain town, and you can create these Facebook ads and target people based on what they put in their profile. And maybe if you've logged into Facebook and you see ads that, have something to do with something you're interested in, well, people are targeting you based on what you put in your profile.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually create one of these ads, and let's say you make it a link to a coupon, and that's a simple example. You just make an ad with a link to a coupon. And then you can track, obviously, number of impressions, number of clicks, and then over to that coupon, are there ways to track the redemption. And so just building a simple little case study and trying, a couple campaigns like that, getting real specific targeting, maybe the area that you're if you have a retail location or if it's a service, type of business, all these things, can be tracked. And then take that information to the franchisor and say, hey, here is what we did, and here are the specifics, and here are all the things that we were able to measure, and here are the results and the return that we got from this one simple campaign. Are you willing to sit down and look at this and talk about it? And then, perhaps then the franchisor would say, hey, how can we roll this out to the rest of the system? And I would hope they would be, open to that. Giving them some hard numbers to show the effectiveness of these type of campaigns. And that's just a simple example. There are lots of things on social media that are hard to measure. However, there are things, if you design them right, you can measure quite a bit more than you would with some traditional media.
You mentioned quite a bit more than most people within social media that I listen to about clicks and impressions. Can you explain for our listeners what you refer to as a click and what you refer to as an impression?
Sure. Well, let's say you're looking at a website and you see an ad, and it's somebody is paying for this ad, and whether it's a flash-based thing, it's a blinking button, some type of ad, and so you display that page with your browser, and that is going to equal one impression. Okay, potentially one eyeball or two eyeballs saw that ad. Okay, so that would be an impression. It just showed up. It was rendered on a page, and hopefully someone saw that or had the opportunity to see it. Now, if you click on that ad, it's going to take you somewhere. It's going to take you to some website, or it's going to do something, and so that click or that action that you took is going to be measured or tracked somewhere. And so then you go to, the website, and maybe, in like in our case, let's say there's a coupon there. When you click, there's a coupon. Then you can print that coupon out. When you walk into a Tasty Delight and you redeem that coupon, you know, we've pushed down a button on the point of sale system that allows us to track it even further. Okay, so you know those types of things. This is where I'm saying, you know, this is how you measure these things with social media. And you have to design your campaigns around being able to, you know, to say, was this successful or not? This money that I spent, was it well spent? Did I get a return or didn't I? So you have to think that way from the very beginning in how you design your campaigns.
So basically, impressions in the Twitter world, when they're looked at by somebody that has a million followers, is certainly a valuable impression because hypothetically it's exposed to all their followers, correct?
Correct. And, you know, so those followers have the potential to see that. Given that it's real time and the lifespan of a tweet is relatively short, here's the thing, though, is that unlike an ad that's displayed on a web page, that Twitter message stays out there, okay? And it stays out there related to your feed, so someone goes back and sees your, you know, kind of reading your all your tweets, that information stays out there. As well, search engines have visibility to that information. So while the attention span is pretty short on Twitter for people to see that, that information does stay out there, you know, on your Twitter feed, on your Twitter page.
Right, and the it is a very short span when it's actually live out there. And you know, I know one of the things that I tell a lot of my clients, you know, just because you put it out there at 8 o'clock in the morning doesn't mean you can't put it out there several more times a day, because there are people that, you know, check their Twitter account at the same time every day.
Right.
So you're only attracting that part of the audience. So it's very interesting. You know, one of the things I saw on one of your slides from the presentation was using social media beyond marketing. I thought that's really a benefit that I think a lot of people in franchising aren't looking at. Can you explain social media beyond marketing?
Well, I think what we had talked about there is, you know, evaluating new employees, monitoring current staff, and is just, you know, crisis management are, I think, the three things that we talked about on that panel. So, you know, beyond reaching new customers, existing customers, you know, kind of seeing perhaps what your employees are saying and what they're doing. You know, looking at new hires, well, go online. Google is their resume, okay? And so, you know, that's those kind of things, in whether it's new hires or just kind of monitoring, you know, what employees might be doing or saying. As well, you know, in listening, if you're listening and something comes up about your brand, your product, and there's, you know, some negative conversation going on, the sooner you can get involved with that conversation, you know, the sooner it's gonna stop. And so as soon as you can engage with someone to address an issue and respond in the right way, the sooner that's, you know, going to go away instead of perhaps escalate or even spread virally, as we've heard some, you know, stories. So the sooner that you can, you know, get involved with those issues and talk with folks about them and provide some, you know, just authentic, transparent, you know, conversations, you know, you're going to get a good response on these networks.
I imagine multi-unit operators really have to be focused on stuff like that because they can't be every place all the time.
That's right.
You know, you also mentioned, let me phrase it as a question. You know, how important to you is this, especially in a multi-unit environment, of establishing execution guidelines and, of course, managing program compliance?
Well, that's a good question. You know, we try to work with our franchisees really early on in the process. I mean, we go back as far as even discovery day, kind of setting an expectation of here's how we do this. Here's what we see as a very important thing We want to be a social friendly brand, and so we, you know, then in training, we'll just go through, you know, basically social media training, and we have guidelines and, you know, policy in place with different case studies, and we show them how to do that. And then from that, you know, how do we scale is kind of the, I think, to your question, you know, how do they scale that after they've got one, two, three units open, and they continue hopefully to replicate what they did, you know, with a single unit. And so we just kind of walk through this with them and hopefully set an example, provide some leadership, you know, to doing these things with them. At the same time, the franchisees come up with some great ideas. And so, mm-hmm. you know, listening to those ideas and hopefully, you know, implementing them. So that's kind of our approach. And so, you know, that we hope to be able to push down and replicate, you know, the training so that in each location they're able to execute and communicate effectively between each of the locations. And again, that goes back to, like I said, you know, communication so that at the line level, the people know what's going on in the virtual realms and those conversations that are happening. So we try to do that as much as we can. One of the things that we like to do is, you know, kind of, you know, we have these online discussions, you know, we'll do something like, you know, have a contest and then someone will win a treat card, okay, so which is also a gift card. So they'll win a gift card, and instead of just mailing them the gift card, we'll get with the local Tasty Delight, and we'll say, hey, you know, take the gift card and bring them a cake or some Tasty Delight, you know, some quarts or pints or whatever, and just take it to their office and, you know, and deliver it to them. And, you know, so now we're taking this virtual conversation and now making it a physical one and doing some guerrilla customer service to just kind of dump, you know, just really bring a bunch of stuff over to their office. And so we've done this a number of times, got a great response. And, of course, there's all kinds of virtual conversations or conversations on Twitter or Facebook. Now we have customers creating content about the brand online that stays out there. They're posting videos. We had one guy who did the delivery of one of these cards. This company, this office, they actually videotaped him delivering the stuff.
Wow.
And then they posted it on their Facebook page. They did a blog posting. They got pictures on Flickr. So, and all this content is still out there. And Google, you know, sees this stuff and says, hey, this is relevant information about this brand, and it's fresh. And so we're going to put that, you know, hopefully close to the top of the search engine rankings.
So, integrated, you know, marketing at its best, right?
Right.
Without a doubt. That's a fabulous story. You sure that you just have a technology background, BJ? Because you sound very, very even more well-versed than a lot of marketing professionals.
Well, marketing has always been my favorite discipline to interface with or to support. And so over my years as a traditional kind of IT director, and I have to deal with every, you know, accounting and all these different departments, marketing was always my favorite. And I have a web development background, so, you know, there's that as well. So apparently, you know, I guess I just, you know, I'm okay at it. So
yeah, I would say you're better. You're more than okay. But, you know, that leads me to my next question. I mean, you know, technology background, you know, passion for marketing, working with marketing, et cetera. But, you know, a lot of franchisors say, you know, I'm not creative. I'm not technologically advanced. I'm not a geek. I'm not, you know, I don't know anything about it. I see my kids on Twitter or on Facebook, and it's not for me. I mean, what words of advice would you give that type of individual to, you know, get out there and just do it?
Well, the best example that I like to tell folks is, you know, when that person sees for the first time, when they go in to create a, for example, a targeted Facebook ad, when you see the ability that you have to segment these users at such a granular level, you know, you could put in a college that's nearby one of your locations, and it tells you, hey, there's, you know, 30,000 people that, you know, this ad could show up for. when they start seeing the ability to do this targeted marketing, you know, the light bulbs just start going off. And so that's kind of, you know, anyone that's kind of hesitant in getting started, you know, I say show them this. Show them how these targeted Facebook ads work. Not that they're the end-all, but this is just one example of how you can do this and really automate it, is go in there, show them how these things work, put in, you know, your city, and it shows you just how many people, you know, you're going to be targeting, and then go even down to, you know, get a little more granular with it, and then, again, the light bulbs start going off, and they say, oh, wow, this is, you know, this is really powerful. You can really do some cool things with this. You know, getting past the technology, you know, part of it, and then it's getting much easier to do now. It's you know, the tools are being automated, and so it's getting much easier to do many of these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Because from a technology standpoint, I literally could say a lot of times I don't have a clue. So I often say, you know, hey, social media, you know, even a caveman can do it. To steal Geico's ad campaign there. You mentioned in your presentation at the multi-unit conference about control and scale. I think
right.
That was on your last slide. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah. Well, from a control standpoint, again, many are concerned, you know, how do I keep my hands around, you know, protecting the brand name, when, you know, you have multiple franchisees out there doing their own thing? How do you control this? How do you get in front of that? You know, how do you get visibility to, you know, what they're saying and what they're doing? So, again, for us, it starts back early in the franchise development process, where we are, you know, we provide some content for them. We provide some examples and, you know, case studies in the training on how to do this. And then we even go and look specifically at each market. In Florida, we got different opportunities than certain markets, you know, on the West Coast. So as we look at each and we talk to these new franchisees, we look at each market and say, hey, you know, here's how, you know, this channel or this, you know, social network may or may not work better. And so, again, kind of going alongside them, you know, sharing with them the social media policy and then, you know, for us, again, going back to this loyalty program that we you know, did here, so now we're putting applications in place and designing these things so that it's automated for the franchisee. So we have people in new markets, and they're, you know, rolling out these Tasty Rewards, you know, this loyalty program. People swipe their card, and now the messages are going out. So, you know, we control, obviously, what those messages say. We do give them options to choose from. So that's from a control standpoint. You just got to get early as possible in the process with the franchisee and walk through with them how this stuff works, what the opportunity is, you know, and get them on board with the brand message, of course. That's got to be clear. So as far as scaling goes, you know, what we try to do is if I connect with someone, say either on Facebook or Twitter, what I'll try to do is push them down to the local level, push them down. If that franchisee if he has his own Facebook fan page or group or a Twitter page, we'll push that relationship down to the local level. And that's what the customer likes that. They, you know, as much as they might like to engage with the corporate, you know, the brand, they want to get, you know, local, to, you know, closer to the owner, if you will. And so we try to push those relationships down, and I'll regularly share with franchisees, hey, here's the person to follow, here's someone to engage with, or I'll just kind of direct the customer to the Facebook page or whatever. With scaling, you know, there's all these channels out there. There's the YouTube, there's Yelp. So and each one is different, and they have to be handled differently. And some of them, I think, even require a different skill set to manage these things. So you have some people in your organization that may be better at one than the other. And then, you know, for me, I'm passionate about Twitter, okay? You know, so, you know, finding someone that is going to be a good channel manager for any of these given things, and of course communication comes into play again there. But as, you know, so you could have someone kind of watching Facebook, you could have someone watching Yelp, you know, see what's going on with Foursquare, those types of things, managing different marketing campaigns. Communication is key. And then again, we use applications and we design systems to automate these things for us. So that's an interesting
model that you bring up about you know, different people managing different channels. I had never thought about that before, but that's it appears to me an excellent model, because one person would have a hard time doing everything. But also, you know, you take the customer review, like a site like Yelp, and you have, you know, somebody that might embrace social media in your customer service department. That might be a nice fit, where that person might not be as good at managing the Twitter channel, let's say.
Right, and it may not be the person that you think is going to be good at it. So if, as you're walking through your office, it may not be the person that you catch on Facebook all the time that's the best person to manage Facebook. It might be that you go in the IT department, open the server closet, and there's your guy. So you don't know. So it's just a matter of finding who the right team members are, who has the right skill set to do this kind of stuff.
Right. That's really some good insight and some good perspective, because I hadn't even given that thought of various people managing different channels. I think that's exceptional advice. What do you see coming down the pike for social media? I mean, what's new? I know you were on the forefront of Foursquare. Is there anything else new and exciting that's coming down the pike?
That's a great question. I think everything is just going to get more local, and I think everyone is saying that. You know, everyone's seeing kind of the trend as people are, you know, people are sharing not only what they do but where they are, you know, at a given time, and then. You know, so there's, you have an opportunity to interact there. So I think, you know, things are going to get more local, just more granular, and new platforms are going to come along that provide different dynamics for whether it's gaming. Clearly, the mobile trend is going to continue with the number of smartphones that are coming out. You know, more and more mobile applications, and with that, comes advertising opportunities perhaps. So as much as you can, I would say go on Foursquare, and if you have an iPhone or a BlackBerry, load it up on there, learn how to use it, understand it, because you most likely have customers. If you have a retail location, you most likely have customers that are already checking in at your location and you don't even know it.
Absolutely. Yesterday, I was going to say, in USA Today, they had a feature article on the front page about Facebook applications and smartphone applications specifically that just are running the gamut, and new ones coming out every day. Do you see a lot of video on the horizon being integrated with all these different applications?
Well, potentially, where customers are creating content, they're making videos with their mobile devices and uploading those things. Now, what I would do, and one thing we didn't really mention is in listening to these different channels and identifying what we call the technographic of your customer is. Okay, so when you're listening, where are they on these different communities, and what are they doing specifically? So, like in our case, if you go on Flickr, there's hundreds of pictures of Tasty Delight that are about Tasty Delight on Flickr. But if you go on YouTube, there's not a lot of videos. And so, you know, it wouldn't make sense for me to do a best video contest when the customers are more likely to upload pictures. Does that make sense? So
right, but certainly, with a lot of followers, if you wanted to do that, you would just encourage them to start taking videos, right?
Well, you could encourage them as much as you want, but if they're not the type of They're not the type of online user that would normally upload videos, and they're more likely or more comfortable to do pictures. You have to kind of look at it that way. Which one is more likely to be a successful campaign?
Right.
Okay.
Any challenges you see on the horizon for the franchising industry as it relates to social media?
Well, this is just going to get more, spread out. It's going to become just a more broad. There's going to be so many channels that you have to kind of watch. I think of it as like a TV where you just have all these channels. Well, the internet's the same way. You have your Facebook, your now Foursquare, things called Gowalla. You have all kinds of mobile applications, different ways people are engaging brands. And so the challenge will be just keeping if it was just Facebook and it was just one thing, okay, that'd be great. But you got multiple channels, multiple online communities that people are engaging in and talking about, these products or services. And so, it's just getting your hands around all of those and getting visibility to them. One of the tools that, we mentioned at the conference there was it's called Addictomatic.com. Addictomatic.com is one, it's really kind of like a social media dashboard, and you put in your term for your brand, in our case Tasty Delight, and it comes up and it shows YouTube videos, it shows Flickr pictures, blog posting, any mention on Twitter and Google blogs, all kinds of different things in one screen. It gives you a dashboard of what people are saying about your term there.
Wow, that's a fabulous thing. Yeah, that's at addictomatic.com. Fast forward 3 to 5 years, BJ. Social media continues to grow. There's more and more channels. There's more tools that are out there, a lot of different applications and ways to automate. Franchisors that haven't embraced it by that time, what are they going to be faced with?
Well, clearly, when you have a presence on these different sites and people, you're just top of mind when you're, these people are on these communities, you have a competitive advantage over a concept that's being socially negligent again. That's something that's going to be out there going forward. Now, the next thing I'm seeing here is where you can actually, bring that virtual conversation into the physical location, like let's say in a retail environment, and you had a display, a digital display, and it actually displayed what people are saying online about the given brand or specifically about that location. People who are checking in, whoever the mayor is of a location, you have their picture up on this display, and all the interaction, all the virtual interaction that's going on, you're displaying it physically within the location. So tying those two things together, I think you're going to see that in the near future.
Wow, that's a fabulous thought. I know Coffee Grounds in the Houston area actually uses Twitter at their location. If people go to a table, and it'll actually send a direct message on Twitter to the counter for their order. So,
very nice.
Yeah, more and more businesses are doing that.
Yep.
Well, BJ, we're running out of time. We could talk for hours, I'm sure. Thanks for being my guest today, and I look forward to having you on the show in the future. Please tell our listeners how they can communicate with you and Tasty Delight online.
Well, you go to facebook.com/Tasty Delight. That's TASTIDLITE. So facebook.com/Tasty Delight or twitter.com/Tasty Delight as well as youtube.com/Tasty Delight. You can start there, and we'd love to hear from you. But really good talking to you, Paul. I really appreciate you having me on your show.
Sounds great. Thanks, BJ. Remember, today's segment will be available on demand shortly after the show at www.blogtalkradio.com/franchisetodayshow. Next week, join me and Rhonda Sanderson as we discuss social media and how to utilize it within a PR program. Until then, I'm Paul Segretto. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the Easter weekend and the Passover holiday. And most importantly, please be safe in everything that you do. Until next week, take care.